Live Creative Now, episode 38.
Welcome to Live Creative Now with Melissa Dinwiddie, a weekly podcast to inspire you to create your art and share your work, because that's how you will change the world.
Hey, brilliant. This is Live Creative Now, the podcast designed to help you live a full-color life. Whether you think of yourself as not artistic, not creative, or you think of yourself as an artist of any kind, or anything in between, the truth is that no matter how you define yourself, feeding your creative hungers makes you feel more alive. And it's how you change the world. I am Melissa Dinwiddie, passion pluralite artist, happiness catalyst, and creativity instigator, here to address all your questions about living a full-color creative life. Back in episode 10, I shared with you my morning ritual. If you haven't listened to that episode, you might want to do so. You don't have to for this episode, but you might be interested to listen to that one first, because that was back in July. And as I'm recording now, it is the middle of January. And over the past 6 months, my morning ritual has changed quite a bit. And I thought it would be interesting to share with you why and how it's changed and where I am now. So the first thing is, I'm looking at my list of my morning ritual over on the episode 10 show notes page, and I have number one, hydrate. And I still do that. First thing, I drink two big glasses of water because I'm going to do some really intense stretches that are designed to stretch the fascia, and I need to hydrate my body for those stretches to be effective. I used to meditate next, right after that, and then launch into the rest of my morning routine. Meditation, right into stretching Monday, Wednesday, Fridays. I do push-ups as well. And then after I finish those stretches, I would get back into bed and write in my journal. And usually I'm either reading or listening to some kind of professional development, business-related course or book or something while I'm doing the stretches. And that takes about 20 minutes to do all the stretches. Back in bed, writing in my journal, just a brain dump, but would often turn into a blog post draft or something. That was the first part of my morning ritual. And one of the things that's changed dramatically is that starting on August 31st, I have been doing a daily exercise routine. And I figured out that the only way to really make sure that I get my workout in every day is to schedule it in early in the day, during the morning. So it usually ends up to be about an hour total that I'm doing my workout, and I do a few yoga poses as well, which really helps my back because I've got scoliosis and I have ongoing low back issues. And if I do yoga a little bit every day, warrior two, side angle pose, and triangle in particular, if I do hold those poses for a while, it really, really helps my back. So having this hour of doing movement-related workout stuff has kind of threw a big wrench in the works, because all of a sudden that's a big chunk of time, a full hour that I didn't used to spend doing that. And so I get back upstairs to get on with the rest of my day an hour later than normal. Well, what happened is my intention is always to do my creative thing before I dive into my computer, and the work that I'm going to be doing, most of the work I do is on the computer, usually at my treadmill desk, or I'm always standing at least on my treadmill desk, and I spend usually a decent chunk of that time walking, or some portion of that time, shall we say. And because it was so much later in the day, after spending that hour working out, I would feel really anxious about, oh, I gotta get to work. And so my creative time wasn't happening. And I would grab it here or there, but it wasn't working for me to try to fit my creative sandbox art making time in between my workout and my work. So this was pretty frustrating. And this is where I got to utilize my golden formula: self-awareness plus self-compassion equals the key to everything good. So I used the self-awareness piece to notice, first of all, this isn't working. I need to get creative time in more consistently than I have been. And instead of beating myself up, I responded with self-compassion. I'm not the first person in on the face of the planet who's had problems like this. And how can I lovingly and gently guide myself so that it's working better? And what I decided to try just in the past week or so, I guess since around the new year, is what would happen if I, instead of going to my art table and mucking about with paint, which is very messy, what if I draw, just doodle for 15 minutes? Actually, the original intention was, what if I just draw for a little bit before I meditate? So first I drink my glasses of water and then I draw. And I discovered that, wow, using just a black fine point marker, a Pigma Micron by Sakura, Pigma Micron marker in a sketch pad. Wow, there's something so satisfying and meditative about just doodling. And I'm not following any of the structured doodles, like Zentangles or any of those things. I'm just doing my way of playing with shapes and lines and things. And I've been having a wonderful time, except that I discovered after the first couple of days of this that I could, like, an hour could go by and I wouldn't even notice. So time to come in and tweak again. Okay, I've got to set a timer. So I set a timer for 15 minutes. I give myself 15 minutes of just playing with a pen on paper. And it's not the same kind of mess that I get to do with lots of color and paint and mediums and things that I get to do at my drafting table. But it's very meditative and it's so satisfying to do a little something really, really, really first thing. I would still like to be doing more, and I'm working on being able to build that into my day more consistently as well. But I'm so pleased that I've got this little bit of creative sandbox time, really, truly first thing. Now, I wrote on the blog recently about how I've been having this really interesting experience with these morning doodles. The other day, I decided to, instead of starting something brand new on a fresh white piece of paper, I looked at something I had drawn, I don't know, a few days ago or something, and I decided to stick with that piece and just play with the line quality so that instead of just being a fine point monoline line throughout, the width of the line would vary. And I used the same little tiny 0.005 Pigma Micron marker that I had used to make the original lines and went back and added width to the lines. Very, very uneven, very sort of rough hewn kind of quality to it. And my 15 minutes, I was able to tackle only a very small portion of this drawing because it's time consuming work. It's kind of tedious work in a way. I was enjoying it, but I noticed that part of me was impatient to get on to something new. That's what it's all about, really, is noticing what's going on with you, right? It's not that it's right or wrong. It's how is it making you feel? So what really struck me as I was working on this piece, and you can see it, I'll leave a link in the show notes, I'll just post the image in the show notes so you can see it. This slow, meticulous work of going back in with a super fine point pen and just gradually widening portions of the line felt really, really different from the style of working that I've been used to for the past 5 years or so. It felt different from that, but it felt similar to the way I used to work before that. So all of my art, when I started making art really in the mid-90s, all of my art was really, really meticulously precise. It was all about precision. And I mean, I started doing paper cuts with X-Acto blades, you know, cutting out a peacock and Celtic knotwork and things. So very, very meticulous and precise. And I would lose track of time. I remember I really enjoyed doing those pieces. A number of the Ketubah prints that are still in my shop at ketubahworks.com were made in that kind of fashion. So whether it's a medieval style illumination or a paper paper sculpture or a collage where I would cut out tiny, tiny little pieces of paper and layer them in to create like a flower garden or a vegetable garden or a tree or whatever. Super, super detailed, super, super meticulous, and everything very much planned in advance. I would create the design and then I would execute the design. And the execution and planning altogether might take me 200 hours. Super, super nitpicky work. That can be very meditative, but it can also really lead to perfectionism. If you are trying to model something super, super precisely, it doesn't necessarily create perfectionism, but it certainly did for me. And that brought out my perfectionist gremlins, who constantly told me that my work wasn't good enough, and it really stopped being fun and totally paralyzed me for so many years. So when I came back to art in like 2010, 2011, it was with a mindset of intentionally rebelling against perfectionism. I knew that this approach, this perfectionist approach, had been such a killer of joy, such a destructive force in my life, that I consciously decided to be intentionally imperfectionistic. It's one of the reasons why I really like working improvisationally, spontaneously, because you can't expect it to be perfect if it's spontaneous and improvisational. You can continue to work on your craft, absolutely, but you don't have total control over everything, because I do a lot of work where I intentionally don't have control over everything. And that was super, super intentional to help me release my tendencies to be too perfectionistic. I spent so much of my life believing that the only way to be good enough was to be perfect or to be the best. And anything less than the best was worthless, embarrassing, stupid. You should just quit. That's so paralyzing. So when I came back to art, I decided very intentionally that I was going to be interested in finding the beauty in the imperfect, in the unplanned, in the mess, the rough, the irregular, the uncontrolled. And the question that I was kind of asking without actually articulating it, the way I used to work, the unstated question was, why even bother if it's not going to be perfect? Which of course led to paralysis. And now the unstated question, which I don't think I ever articulated until like the last couple of days, is, can there be value in my work? Can it be beautiful, valuable, if it's imperfect, if it's messy, if it's rough. And all of my art forms, my drawing and painting, my music, my writing, my performing, I do theatrical improv, all of that has been a very conscious attempt to really unravel and let go of 4 decades of perfectionism. And now, with that piece that, as I said, I'll include it in the show notes so you can take a look at it. Now it's intriguing me to see whether it's possible to blend the two, to blend that loose spontaneity that's, you know, brings in the element of total randomness and meticulous detail, to bring those two together. Now, I have to say that I've already done that. For example, my original Art Spark artwork that I started making in February of 2011 is little pieces that I would start on a big sheet of watercolor paper and basically do kind of like finger painting for adults with layer upon layer of different colored inks and pastels and watercolor and pencil, and not thinking about the sheet of paper as a work of art, but just experimenting and playing. And then I would take matte corners and find interesting places inside that larger piece of paper and tear those out. And that would be my composition that I would then respond to with calligraphy. And anybody who's ever done calligraphy knows that calligraphy is a very precise, meticulous art form. So I already combine looseness and spontaneity and that precision in my calligraphy, because the lettering styles that appeal to me the most are more irregular looking, but they're still there's a lot of precision involved. So I've already blended those two things together, but I'm curious to see whether I can do that in my drawing and painting without getting sucked back into perfectionism. This is a question I do not have the answer, but I am investigating this question. Now, as I wrote in this blog post, my most recent blog post, I am not suggesting that working loose and spontaneous and with this element of randomness, I am not suggesting that that is right for everybody. That simply happens to be my way of working, the way that works for me to truly enjoy the process and not get sucked into perfectionism. You need to figure out what's going to work for you, because that might be really, really different. You might absolutely love realistic drawing, copying a photograph to the nth degree. That might totally float your boat. And if so, awesome. That is so cool. The important thing is to find the thing that does float your boat, light you up, and doesn't cause a reaction of being sucked into perfectionism, being sucked into some kind of stuckness, right? Some kind of resistance and stuckness. And one thing that I know for sure that has always helped me step out of that perfectionist paralysis trap is to follow the precepts of my Creative Sandbox Manifesto, also known as my 10 Rules for the Creative Sandbox, which you can hear all about in episode 5. But to recap, here is my Creative Sandbox Manifesto. Anytime you're feeling stuck, you need some help to get out of the muck. You want to find your way back to flow. You need the Creative Sandbox Manifesto. There is no wrong to think process, not product. 3, think quantity, not quality. If
you take care of the quantity will take care of itself for Think Tiny and Daily. Ridiculously achievable. Remember the most important practice is just getting back on the wagon. So it's a very good thing to make it a very short wagon. 5. If you are stuck, just start anywhere. 6. When in doubt, ask what if. 7. Take the riskier path. 8. Dismiss all gremlins. 9. Spring the comparison trap. 10. Most of all, treat yourself with compassion. Remember the golden formula. Self-awareness plus self-compassion equals the key to everything good. There you have it, Creative Sandbox Manifesto. Go get creating.
So that's it. That's a wrap. If you're getting value out of this podcast, the best way to thank me is to tell your friends and go over to iTunes and leave a 5-star rating and review. I want to read you a couple of recent reviews that just made me beam to read. Amy Rogers wrote a review titled Such Encouragement back on January 2nd. She writes, Melissa offers great encouragement to embrace your creative side. Even if you aren't in a traditionally creative field like art or music, these thoughts apply to whatever you do. If you want to improve things, you have to think creatively. Great podcast. Thank you, Amy. And Norsaj, Norsaj, his or her review title is excellent! Exclamation point. And Norsaj writes, I happened upon this podcast while I was stuck in an almost 10-year creative quagmire. That would be me, Norsaj. I have been there. Melissa's podcast was just what I needed at just the right time. Listening to her helped me get out of my creative rut and provided me with the tools to not only get creating, but to explore different creative possibilities. I highly recommend this podcast to anyone who finds it hard to just produce work, or even to those who are unsure what direction they want to take creatively. Very well produced and always full of helpful and interesting information. Thank you so much, Norsaj. I really appreciate your review and taking the time to do it. And I am so delighted that my podcast helped you get out of your creative rut. Yay! You, brilliant listener, can also leave your own review on iTunes, and I might just read it on a future episode. And meanwhile, I wanted to give you a heads up that I am opening the doors very soon to my signature mini course, Creative Sandbox 101. This is a week-long course that has changed over 1,000 people's lives at this point. It is perhaps the most transformation you can get in a week. You get teeny tiny bite-sized lessons and creative prompts, 5 of those days, plus an intro day and a bonus day. And I tell you, it is just amazing how many people have gone from totally stuck to freely playing, freely accessing their creative spirit again. It's so joyful to see the transformation that happens for people. We start on January 25th and we run through January 31st. And you can get all the information you need over at creativesandbox101.com. That's creativesandbox101.com. So thanks again for joining me. And until next time, go get creating. Mwah!
Live creative now.
Subscribe at livecreativenow.com.